Hallelujah. God richly bless you all. So I have a little song ministration I want to give to you, and I really hope it's a blessing to you all. Please, bear with me. My voice might be a little shaky. This is my first time doing this, so please bear with me.
Thank you. I'm happy to be amongst you this morning, and it's also a privilege to give you the message of the hour, fellowshipping with precious souls like you. Get it? What I want to tell you is that I don't have any new thing for you, but the same old message. Amen. Brought to us by Malachi 4 prophet, the message of the hour. And I'm only here just to bring it to your remembrance, what you already know. Amen. Just like Peter said, I'm just bringing you to your remembrance what you already know. So I don't have anything new for you this morning, but I pray that the little that I'll give you will be a blessing to you. Shall we stand for a word of prayer? And shall we bow our heads? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are indeed a privileged people this morning that we can look into thy glorious face and call thee our Father, knowing that we are passed from death unto life, because that the Holy Spirit is bearing record with us, that we are sons and daughters of God, and he is our witness that we have passed over that line for the things of the world that we used to love and cherish is dead now. And we have been raised anew with Christ and sitting together in heavenly places in him, enjoying his presence. How we thank thee for this. And this morning, on this occasion, we want to pray that you visit us in a mighty way. Bless this church, whom we love and have fellowship with it, oh, and his pastor and all the members, and for those who are fellowshipping with us this morning. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that this morning will be a special morning, that we long to remember his presence this morning. May there be some here this morning, those one that gone out into the wilderness to look for the stray sheep, may they return to the fold, granted, Lord. And may there be mercy in the camp this morning. That's what we plead in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. While you are still standing, let's open our Bibles to Matthew. Matthew, the 7th chapter, I read from verses 24 to 27. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Amen. And everyone who heard this saying of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great what's the fall? May there be a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated while sitting. There's some old song we used to sing in our Sunday school days. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rain came tumbling down. And the rain came down, and the storm came up. The rain came down, and the storm came up. The rain came down, and the storm came up. And the house of the wise stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sun. The foolish man built his house upon the sun. The foolish man built his house upon the sun. And the rain came tumbling down. And the rain came down, and the storm came up. And the rain came down. All these Sunday school songs, yeah, mainly based upon the Bible teachings. Now, to go straight into the message, this morning, I'm giving you the message, the oncoming storm. The oncoming storm. And Jesus was speaking here of a coming storm which has got to strike every man and every woman that is born in this world. That storm will strike every person, every man, every woman that is born in this world. There's just no way out of it. That storm will strike you sometime or the other. And it depends on what kind of a foundation you have. Amen. Whether your house will weather it or not. Amen. There'll be many lives saved because of preparation for storms. And there's been a many lives lost because of failing to heed to the warning of that coming storm. A true story in Florida not long ago, and there have been many great storms sweeping in America, typhoons, tornadoes, and hurricanes. And it sweeps every through the city. And the weather forecasts are always on the lookout for such storms. And some way they have instruments whereby they can predict and show what the atmosphere is like and what it's going to be. And then they've made a study throughout, or they have data showing the changes trend. An appearance of the way the wind was coming or how much wind got behind it, and the way the storm was going, and whether it would be able to contact it or shove away the storm. You know, I would just stop here and say, it takes a greater storm that is coming. It takes a higher wind to turn that storm. There is a storm coming, but it takes a greater wind to turn that storm, to overturn it. So it is today. No, we all know that we've gone an oncoming storm. And the only wind that can turn it away will be that rushing mighty wind that fell on the day of Pentecost. And then there's only one thing that can turn that storm, and that's a more powerful storm that can be set and change its course. And this weather forecasters in Florida, they are quite accurate with their forecasting. And they said to warn the people. And in one of these days, there was a neighbor who's always with his radio all the time, listening for these sort of warnings. And he's a renowned Christian. And he heard that a great typhoon was coming that way, crushing down the trees and everything. And then they are warned to get to safety. And he thought of a neighbor who had a poultry farm and some live buildings with their chicken in them, the broilers, the layers, and so forth. And all that they have, their life investment, is tied in this poultry farm. And the neighbor, a good, renowned Christian, when he heard about this storm coming, took his car and then raced to this poultry farmer's house and jumped up and said to him, take all the chickens and put them in your storm shelter. Normally, they in overseas, American, they have shelters where when disasters are coming, they run there and then hide themselves from that shelter. So it's called storm shelters and other things. He said, take all the chicken and put them in your storm shelter, and then you rush over to mine because there is coming a typhoon, a storm that is going to twist everything down. And the man stood and looked at him in the face and laughed at him, said, nonsense. I have them predict such things before, and it never did happen. And this Christian neighbor said, he got so worried and said, but Joe, if it does happen, and you hear a mass like that all along the line, oh, I have this going on, I'm going to happen, and going to happen. But it's going to happen one of these days. And it behooves us to listen to every warning. Oh, yeah, church. You say, yes, we're by, and I say, but it will happen one of these days. Amen. But this man then said, I have no time for such foolishness. I raised chicken, and I have no time for such. And he cried and said, neighbor, in the name of God, leave those chicken alone, John, and come quickly, you and your family. And if you don't believe it, let your family come. He said, I will not have my children get worried over some radio warning. My children and I have decided to stay here alive. And my wife is going to listen to me because I'm the breadwinner of this home and I'm the head of the house. And she must listen to me. I am the boss. And I will not let my children be excited, worried, and torn up about some nonsense. And the neighbor turned and said, well, he went to his home, into his shelter. And all of a sudden, the cloud was upon him before they knew. That's the way judgment strikes. It comes so quickly, suddenly. You wonder how it's going to get there, quick. And I've seen cruel men once curse God fall and scream and say, oh, how did you treat me that way? The whole very foundation was swept under him in a moment. And it takes to take warning. See, you must laugh at the messenger. You must even able to kill him. But you cannot kill the message. It goes on all the same. God's message is eternal. His word will never fail. Paul was successful in having Stephen's stone, but throughout his life, until he surrendered to Christ, he was never the same. He never got away from that message. We said, oh, I see heavens open, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Something got a hold of him. It wasn't the messenger, But it was the message he heard. And while the storm swept through the country, it caught this poultry farm and the farmer, and they never found this man. They never found his body. And storm came, and the wind started coming, and the water started rising. And then the woman realized that there was no way that they could be saved but to get to the roof of the building. So he gathered the children and then went to the top of the building on the roof. And also some wild animals like snakes, they were also crying for safety. And they also went on top of the roof. The woman and the children and the snakes battling together. The snakes bit the children and they died. And eventually, they bit the woman and also died. And when the search party, when the storm was over, and the search party went looking for the dead bodies, they found the woman and the children on top of the roof, lying side by side dead. Oh, it pays to take warning. The first thing to do, before there can be a warning, there has to be a preparation made for safety. There's no need sending a warning. And the warning is only a voice of one having you to prepare for danger. There has to be a preparation made first. And then if the preparation is made, then the warning can go forward to cause you to make your decision whether you want to listen to it or not. And if you don't want to listen to it, well, that's up to you. If you do listen to it, there is safety. God has the same method. We work on God's method in that same way. God in the early days, in the days of Noah, when people had gotten so wicked and so sinful that God could not look upon it and be just. God is just and he has laws. And any law that's broken, that has no penalty to it, it's not a law. And you cannot break God's law without having to pay for it somewhere. The Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. You see, you sin because you are an unbeliever. You steal, you smoke, you fornicate and adultery. It's because you are an unbeliever. If you are a believer, you don't do those things. Amen. And there's only two things, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever. If you are a believer, you do not do those things. And I don't know what kind of profession you have. But if you do love God, if God, the love of God isn't in you, the Bible said, we got so much profession without possessing it. Too many saying and not living it. We profess to be Christians, but we don't live as Christians. That's what he said. So much profession, but not possessing it. And I think we have been too much practice of sermons and not living in sermons. See, it would be a lot better if you leave our sermons. Each one of us will be a minister. Each one of us will be a minister. It's better to leave me a sermon than preach me one. The Bible said, you are the written epistles of God, seen and read of all men. So it's better to leave a sermon. Amen. Now, Lord John 5:24, he said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. He that believeth. See, we say, oh, pretty loud. No, it's deep. For when you believe, the Bible says, no man can call Jesus the Christ, only the Holy Spirit. He said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Preparation, making ready. And God saw the wickedness of the world, and he saw that wicked adulterous generation, and his holiness could not stand it anymore. Oh, this sinful world. That's how it was in the days of Noah. And God got fed up. But before he sent a storm to destroy the entire world, God made a preparation for those who wanted to stay out of it. In the days of Noah, God made a preparation for those who wanted to stay out of it. And I can see Noah standing in the door of the ark, preaching righteousness. Oh, there weren't many who listened to him. It was something like today. They had entertainment, not gospel. And woe unto these Hollywood evangelists who are afraid to call sin, sin. We need some of the old-fashioned backward preachers. That's God, the Holy Spirit, that are not afraid to preach the gospel with their bare hands, not covered with some kind of rubber glove. But listen, but preach the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment for the wicked and heaven for the righteous. Amen. So the preaching should be about the coming of the Lord Jesus, judgment for the wicked and heaven for the righteous, not entertainment. And the near approaching of the season. Hallelujah. What season? I don't know. No one else knows. But I will warn my generation, if it comes now, I want them to be warned. Amen. I want you to be warned. Amen. There is an oncoming storm. It pays to take warning. And I can see Noah in the door of the ark. Noah was standing at the door, the only way to safety. I can see Moses standing in the door with the blood on the lintel, preaching judgment with the blood on the lintel. Today, Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. Ministers of the gospel standing at the door, pleading with the congregation to come to safety. And no doubt, they laughed at Noah. They made fun of him. The Bible said they were scoffers. And I can hear them saying something like this: Noah, if you haven't got any better entertainment than this, then we will stay at home. That's the world today. They want entertainment. They want God something to entertain them. A lot of fancy music and something like that. Some kind of party. Some kind of beef roast. Those things are all right if it's done outside the church. But the church is where judgment ought to be preached, in the power of the resurrection of the Lord, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And warning. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Amen. Not parties, but judgment. Amen. 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 Lot was warned. When the angels, though he didn't know they were angels, when they went down, Their message was to Sodom, come out of this sinful place. God has a provided way of escape for you. Come out of this sinful place. God is an oncoming storm. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, look what kind of life they were living. And Jesus compared that day to this day. They were sinful. Watch when Lot went out to tell the people. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. And the sins of the city vexed his righteous soul. That's Lot. The angel's message didn't stir them. It had no effect upon them. They were asked to come out because judgment was upon the city. And God was going to bring a storm of fire on the city. And they refused to walk out. They refused to come out. They were satisfied in their sins. People today seem to be comfortable in their sins. Oh, because I own a new car, I have a house, and I have something, I have a beautiful place to sleep. That's wonderful. But that would be good. But we forget God when prosperity comes like that. We preachers and we Christians have been interested in programs of building our churches, getting new, better churches or something like that. Bigger churches, better pews, and a whole lot of it. And we left out the main thing. And what is the main thing? Judgment. Righteousness. The power of the Holy Ghost. A resurrection. Eternal judgment. And eternal life. That's what the church should bother himself about. Preach about judgment. Preach about righteousness. Preach about the power of the Holy Ghost. Preach about resurrection. Preach about eternal judgment and eternal life. That's what the church should be about. Amen. The angel never failed to preach the message, although they tried to stop them, but their message went on just the same. Now, it's just like a man who will shut his eyes and run down his room and shut the door and say, I refuse to know that the sun is shining. See, goes down to his basement. I refuse to know the sun is shining. Why? You say, brother, but that man, there will be something wrong mentally with him. Well, and that's what it is. A man that will reject Jesus Christ is in the same grounds. The Holy Spirit is more real than the sunshine. The sun will fail, but the Holy Spirit can never fail. He doesn't only light for the sense of sight, but he lights for the soul. The Holy Spirit doesn't only give us light to see, but give us light for the soul. Light of glory that leads us to God. That projects Calvary to us. And the suffering of the Lord Jesus. And the oncoming judgment. And the escape for those who want to come. And the prophet said, I would rather be totally blind physically and have my spiritual sight than be totally blind spiritually and have my physical sight. I want to have my spiritual sight. The oncoming storm. And this man who ran into the basement, he said, there's something wrong with that man. Yes. Oh, his friends will come and say, oh, John, or whatever his name might be, you are wrong. Come out. Come out of that dingy old stuff. Come. Come to the sunshine. And you stand there and say, well, I tell you, I am satisfied where I am. That's what it is to some Christians. You tell them, say, hey, my brother, I am satisfied where I am. See? He doesn't want to welcome the sunshine. He doesn't want to get his healing rays. He doesn't want the beauty and the warmth of the sun in his life. Something will be wrong with that man. And so is the man or woman who wants to stay in this dingy world, shut up in the musty sin of unbelief. And he said, the days of miracles is past. There's no such a thing as divine healing. There is no Holy Ghost. It's because you are refusing to come out of the mass and dance of the devil and of hell and of sin and of pride and walk in the light of the gospel, which will bring you warmth. The light of the gospel brings you warmth. Oh, how comfortable it seems to see the oncoming judgment and feel that comfort feeling of the Holy Spirit. Hear them talk about missiles and bombs and what happened. But then if you are in that safe room, there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, the bomb won't no more go out of the barrel till you be in the presence of Jesus with eternal life. We old people, back to young men again, and babies up to the age, with no more death, amen. No more sorrows. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And you mean to tell me that a man refused to come out and walk in that? There's something wrong with him. Finally, if this man doesn't get sunlight, he'll get pale and anemic and sickness will set in and he'll die. And that's what the matter with the world today. That's what the matter with most of our churches today. We are becoming anemic. We need blood transfusion. Pale because we are failing in our spiritual health. We don't have the zeal no more to hunt for souls, to warn people, to get to our neighbors, to get to our friends, the paper boys. Whatever it is, get someone to Jesus. We are pale and failing to walk out in the light, which is our privilege. Our privilege to walk in the light. Failing to believe in the health of God by divine healing. And said, I'm told that there is coming storm one of these days, and those who are not in the wonderful S-O-N light, that fowls of the air will eat their flesh of them. That the diseases on the road that doctors will never be able to stop. It is the plagues of God. Recently, there's something called monkeypox, mpox. These are some of the plagues that's coming around. Amen. The Egyptian doctors, which were smarter than our day, could not stop that plagues of God. Neither could their soothsayers or impersonated. He took Goshen and the power of God to hold his people under the blood of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit is that door today. The Holy Spirit is that safety today. Amen. Another true story. A boy came to the meeting of the Reverend Branham some time ago and he said, Parson, I want to find the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And he said, certainly, my brother, I'm more than happy to lead you to him. And he gave his heart to the Lord and said, I wonder why I'm here this morning. He said, I heard you are in the city. And I came. And I've been more or less a wanderer that somebody came to the prophet and was narrating this incident to him. It's a true story. He said, my old mother was a real Christian. My sister was a Christian. I had one Christian brother, and I was the baby of the family and a spoiled child to begin with, because they babied me and were so good to me, but I would not take heed to my mother and my godly relations. I wanted to be a wanderer. I wanted to live like a man. I thought that being a Christian was more like for the woman or the weak. He said, I became a cook, and I was very good at that trade. And then something or another, I wanted to go to the north. And one day, I staggered into a place where they cut wood to make paper. And I was broke. And I said to the foreman, could you use a cook? And I gave him all my testimonials and recommendations I had in my pocket from different places. The foreman said, well, we have one now, but however, until you're able to get around, we can give you a little bit of money on the side. We got an elderly colored woman in there who is a good chef. But go in and talk with her. Maybe you could use you. And if you could, then we can give you a little spending money so you can get on your feet. And he said that was as good as he wanted. And he went in there and met the old woman and helped her around for a couple of days. And one night, as they were lying there, and said he kept noticing flashes across the side of the wall. And after a while, he said, was somebody outside? And after a while, he heard a deep roar. It was thunder. And he said, outside, I heard some voices talking. And they said, you know, we better get back to the horses. Take care of them because we may not be here very long. And then he took over the cover from his head and was listening to them. And the lightning were flashing. And he saw his boss and the team masters. And he understood by their talk that there was coming a storm across the mountains, which he called upon the north, come quickly without warning. And you don't have time to do anything. The mountain was so high, and they just break right on over. And that flashes that had been lightning, he said, you know, we may not be here for a while. It sounded like a terrible twist that was coming. And he said, I begin to think, I hope it doesn't strike here because I know I am not ready to go. Sometimes you wait too long. So then he said, just in a few moments, the wind began to blow. The tree began to rock. And he listened. And there was a canvas curtain between where he was sleeping and that of the old lady. And the old lady began to beat on the cover and said, son, he said, yes, will you come over to my side? I have a lantern lit here. I went over to her because I was too scared to death. And he said, I had a lantern setting on this stoop. And he said, I would like to ask you something. I said, yes, ma'am. He said, are you ready to meet the Lord? Then I really got scared. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. I said, why, honey? I want to tell you something. You better make ready now because you may have to meet him unprepared in the next few minutes. Because there is an oncoming storm. He said, will you kneel with me here? So I knelt down by the side of the sailboat. He said, Pastor, I really will tell you the truth. I was too scared to pray. The trees were slamming against the building. The lightning was flashing. The thunders were rolling. And I was shaking. I was too scared to pray. And I started to say, Lord, be merciful unto me. And then, bang, 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 brr, brr. The thunders came along. He said, I started to say, oh, Lord, be merciful to me. And then, and I said, where was I? Lord, be merciful. Oh, then the thunder will come. Bang, bang.
That's right. That's right.
He said, but I learned my lesson. That old scented woman, he sat there cool and happy as you could be. See? She talked to him like he had known him since she was a baby. Like he was her father or her mother. He was not disturbed in any way. But I was scared to death. And finally, I got this word out and I said, Lord, if you just let me leave, I will find a place where it's more quieter and I'll come to you. He got another chance, but you might not. When the judgment of God begins to pour out, there is no more chance. You got your chance now, this morning. Because you got your chance now because there is an oncoming storm. The storm was on him. Said, Pastor, is it possible for a man like me to be tucked away in the safety, that when death begins to come upon me, that I can enter up and talk to him like that old sainted lady, a woman? He says, son, the blood of Jesus Christ that made her that way can make you that way right now. The blood of Jesus Christ that made that sainted old lady that way can make you the same this morning. And so I was standing by my car in the mud, and the boy or the man got down in the mud and he received the Lord Jesus. He found that hiding place and that refuge in time of storm. He found that hiding spirit, a refuge in time of storm, the rock in the weary land. And when you are there, you don't have to worry any long, as long as you are in the rock. The rock is one place that there is no worry. The rock is a satisfying place. And you can just sit back and look out. And just be as safe as you can. There is an hour coming. And now is. That every man and woman on the face of the earth is going to be in that place of refuge. Like it was in the days of Noah. Or outside of it, you have to make your decision. That safety is Jesus Christ. He is the only place, the only one who has eternal life. He said, no man can come to my Father but by him. He is the ark of our safety. The Holy Spirit bears records with us now that we are passed from death unto life.
Amen.
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 And brothers and sisters, when you go to the cemetery and look at the grave, know that each one of us is going to be there.
Amen.
Oncoming storm. Oh, we've heard in the newspapers the oncoming storm, and in the book of Revelation, talking about all these plagues, Revelation chapter 24, all these plagues and other things. But remember, before that took place, there was a sealing went forth. And the death angel and the plagues that were commissioned by God said, don't come near any of those who have the seal in their forehead. And the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. It says, grieve not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of your redemption. Yes. So no matter how the ark rock, no matter how many times the lightning struck close, 10,000 shall fall on your right hand and 10,000 on your left. Yes. But it shall not come near thee. You have the Holy Spirit. And I hear the Bible said, God's oncoming storm, God's oncoming judgment, where sickness and trouble and disaster will strike the nation, and every nation will be broken into pieces. But now, what is the ark of safety? Now, another true story, in India, they don't have fence walls, or in the rural India, they don't have fence walls that we have with bricks. But they use stones, big stones, to make fence walls. And then the bears and the fowls, they will make their little nests in the crevices of those rocks that have been used to make the fence wall. And then in the afternoon, the cattle also go near and have shade by the fence walls. But they came in a day or two before it happened, all the bears moved from this the wall. The cattle moved into the middle of the field. And they didn't go back. And they was wondering, but what is happening? What's going to happen? They moved to their fields and were standing there. And then all of a sudden, there was a great earthquake. And these stone walls came crumbling down. And if the bears were in there, they could have been killed. And the cattle too would have been crushed by the falling rocks. But if God, who cares for the animal, the little birds, he made a way of escape for them. Yes. Then how about you and I, who are made in the image of God? Why wouldn't he make a way of escape for us? For the oncoming storm. Now, in the days of Noah, if in the days of Noah, he could warn the cattle and the bears to come into safety in the ark, destruction was coming. A storm was coming. He is still the same God this morning. He still loves cattle and bears. And he has made a way, if he has made a way for bears and cows to escape the wrath of judgment, how much more has he a way of escape for you and I? Who are the offsprings of his creation? How much more has he made a way of escape for us? And we feel the Holy Spirit tugging at our hearts. The hour is coming. We see the shadows of the atomic bomb and nuclear bombs. We are in that thing. And we see nations are breaking. And Israel is awakening. The storms are coming. There is a hiding place. Oh, a blessed hiding place. And it is in Christ Jesus. The storms are coming. There is a hiding place. Oh, a blessed hiding place. And it is in Christ Jesus. Amen. There is an hour coming. And now is. The ceiling is about over. That where every man and woman on the face of this earth is going to be in that place of refuge, like it was in the days of Noah, or be outside of it, you have to make your decision. And that safety is Jesus Christ. He is the only place. The only one who has eternal life. No man can come to me, to the Father, but by him. He is the ark of our safety. The Holy Spirit bears record with us now that we are apart from death unto life. Amen. And as I said, when you go to the grave, and when you go to the cemetery and see the grave, know that each one of us is going to be there. Amen. Amen. And I want to ask you, have you ever found that blessed hiding place from the wrath? Remember, there are no two hiding places. There is just one. You might be a good church member of some church, which I have no evil against it. But if that's all that you have, and your life isn't compared with the book of Acts, if the Holy Spirit that you profess to have is not making you live like they did in the book of Acts, and your life could write another book, you better take warning. If the first vine brought Pentecost Church, the second branch coming out of the vine will bring forth another Pentecostal church with the Pentecostal experience, bearing the same fruits that the first church had. Are you abiding in that blessed sacred presence of the Lord? Have you passed from death unto life? Are you resting upon some emotions or some psychological effects or some intellectual speech? Or are you constantly abiding in his presence with the fruit of the Spirit in your life, which is long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and the rest? Can you beg for someone to talk about you and you love them so much that you pray in your heart for them? Oh, my brother, sweetness and love of God operate in you. He says, sweep over my soul, oh Holy Spirit, sweep over my soul. If you haven't found that place of safety, my brother, escape hither. Come quickly, for there is an oncoming storm. Are you in that blessed hiding place? God be merciful. Oh. But you've got a spirit in you. And that spirit, something has been near you. He said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all that the Father has given me will come. Aren't you happy this morning to know that God can deal with your heart? That there is a little voice there saying, come to safety. He that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. There's an oncoming judgment. Oh, you might belong to a church, but you are wrong. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you are not in the ark. And how do we get into the ark? Not walk in it. How do we get into the ark? By one Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. All believers are baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. And these signs shall follow them that believe. There they are, in safety. If you are not, don't let Satan despise you enough this morning to keep you from being in there. Oh, you can say, be merciful unto me, God. I need you. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to be in that safety. I want my sins under the blood. And I want to be sealed in the body of Christ. So I can feel comfortable. I can enjoy the rays of his healing. I can enjoy the rays of divine healing in my soul. a physical healing in my body. Walking with the lamp each day, safely. No matter what the newspaper said, oh, but I have heard a great paper which said, which is the Bible, and I've gone to safety. No matter what takes place, I will still save. For those, if death takes me, those that are in Christ, who God bring with him at his coming, I'm still saved. Death cannot bother me. Rock of ages, claim for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wilderness be of sin. Everybody in your own way. You can stand up, you can kneel, whatever, you can just feel free. If you just can't say anything at all, just say like the publican who smote his breast and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all that he wants to say. The rest of it, he went away justified. May you go likewise this morning, save from the storm, for there is an oncoming storm. There is an oncoming storm, and you must be in that safety. And that safety zone is Christ Jesus. Just talk to him. Talk to him in your own way. Talk to him in your own way. Cry unto him, Lord Jesus, I've heard there is an oncoming storm, and I want to be part of it. I want to tuck myself in that safety zone. I want to be in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, be merciful unto me. Lord, be merciful unto me. Hear my prayer this morning. Because when the hour comes, I might not be able. Oh, Lord God, now that you have time, call upon him. Now that you have time, call upon him. Lord God, oh, thank you, Jesus. There is an oncoming storm. There is an oncoming storm. Don't be caught up. Oh, like the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't be caught up like that man in Florida. Oh, no. Today is your chance. Today is your day. Call upon him. And as many as will come, I will know why. Cast them out. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him this morning. Tell, I want to be in that safety zone. I want to be on that safety zone, in the cleft of the rock with the Lord Jesus. The rock in the weary land is the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to him. Plead your case. Today is your day. Today is the hour. You may not have a chance. Call upon him this morning. In the mighty name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let the blood in the room from thy word, as I with bloom, be a sin and shall we pray? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, these few mixed up words, divided words, just as I felt led to say them has gone forth. And I pray that somehow, like the little boy repeating the alphabet, he said that's the only thing he knew to do. He knew all the words and he put the letters together. You saw the simplicity of his heart. God, look down upon our heart this morning and see the simplicity of our heart and the message that was meant, Lord, in love and in sweetness for the people, that they might find this rest that you have given me and thousands of others, that they might know Jesus,
oh Lord,
the only Savior of their soul.
Hallelujah.
That they might lead them out, oh Father God.
Yes, Lord.
And there they be safely tucked in his bosom.
Hallelujah.
Through his riven side.
Yes, Lord.
And accept him, be free from
Hallelujah.
Judgment.
Yes, Lord.
And may this morning, Lord, oh God, who they raise their hands, whatever they did.
Hallelujah.
Oh, and if they believe and they were sincere, and we spoke for them to have eternal life.
Hallelujah.
At that hour. For you said, he that heareth my words.
Yes, Lord.
These were yours.
Hallelujah.
They weren't rightly put together, maybe.
Oh,
but yes. You can put them together.
Thank you, Lord.
And may you have those who raised their hands and said, oh, give them eternal life.
Yes, Lord.
And raise them up in the last day. We know, Lord God, that they've raised their hand and they want that in their hearts. Oh, give them mercy.
Yes,
the Holy Spirit. May this be a morning that we'll never forget.
Hallelujah.
Because it's a night that they receive Jesus Christ,
yes,
their Savior, and was filled with the Holy Spirit. My wife said, have our heads bowed. Oh. You know, everything that will be shaking will be shaking.
Yes, Lord.
But we receive a kingdom.
Praise the Lord.
That cannot be moved.
Hallelujah.
And that is Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
The message this morning has been a message of deliverance.
Yes, Lord.
A message of love.
Yes, Lord.
A message of grace.
Yes, Lord.
And a message of warning.
Yes, Lord.
Tomorrow, this message may be in your ear somewhere else.
Praise the Lord.
A message of condemnation.
Hallelujah.
And judgment.
Yes, Lord.
While there is mercy in it, come.
Yes.
Receive it.
Hallelujah.
Won't you, friends? Won't you come?
Oh, man.
Let it speak for you mercy.
Praise the Lord.
May the Lord bless you.
Bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.